We left off yesterday talking about the section in Perek Yud Ches where the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, muses to himself, can I hide from Avraham Avinu that which I'm about to do? In other words, I'm about to destroy the cities of Sodom. Can I not reveal this information to Avraham Avinu? The question obviously is, why not? I mean, why would it be a problem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to refrain from revealing the fact that he's going to destroy Sodom to Avraham Avinu? Why is it important? Why is it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal this to Avraham Avinu? So the approach that the Sfarno takes, as we outlined yesterday, is that the conversation which takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu, in which Avraham Avinu on the surface seems to be bargaining down HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you destroy them if they're 50 people, 50 tzaddikim, will you destroy them if they're 45 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim? It sounds like on some level Avraham Avinu is negotiating or bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sfarno seems to take a different perspective. The point of the conversation is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal to Avraham Avinu the greatness, the extent of Hashem's kindness. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu justifiably could have destroyed these cities. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective is that if there are enough tzaddikim in the cities who will be able to influence the rishayim within those cities, to get them to do tshuva, to get them to repent, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that justifies sparing the cities in their entirety. In other words, you should see the midas hachesed, the attribute of kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses, and the power of someone influential to get others to do tshuva. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want to reveal this to Avraham Avinu. I want him to see, first of all, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with kindness. He should understand that. And secondly, I want him to realize the impact that someone influential can have, that tzaddikim, the presence of the tzaddikim within the cities of Sodom ultimately could have saved Sodom, because not just in the schus and the merit of those tzaddikim, but it's because of what those tzaddikim will do. The anticipation is that the tzaddikim will have the ability to turn around the rishoyim within the cities and to bring the whole city back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu, as we'd say today, you're an influencer. You're somebody who has the ability to be mashpia, to influence on broad swaths of people. You should be aware of this power and how powerful this can be. So the conversation, as we're going to see a little bit tonight, the conversation is not so much Avraham Avinu trying to bargain down or negotiate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather the questions of Avraham Avinu are inquisitive of nature. So how would it work? So would you spare it for 40? Would you spare it for 45? For 30? Right? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing slowly to Avraham Avinu how his midas hachesed, how his attribute of mercy actually works. So let's explore that question for a moment. Was there any hava amina, so to speak, that there were tzaddikim in Sodom? Were there any grounds to think that there might be tzaddikim in Sodom? I mean, you know, the impression we have of Sodom is not a particularly positive one. What I think we're going to see tonight, I want to leave that question dangling for a few minutes, because as we'll see some of the psukim, we'll see that from the Sfarno's perspective at least, it was not entirely obvious that the people of Sodom were total out-and-out Rishoim. In other words, you know, what we know now in hindsight would not necessarily have been readily apparent at the time. And I'll elaborate on that actually in the next couple of minutes as we see certain comments that the Sfarno makes. So first of all, in the beginning of Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chaf, it says, Vayomer Hashem. Hashem said, Zaka Sodom va'amora ki rabba. The cry that emerges from Sodom and Amora is great. V'chatosom ki chavdom me'od. Their sin is very, very heavy. What's Vayomer Hashem? Hashem said, especially when you consider that the speaker up until this point has also been Hashem. Back in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we were introduced with the words V'Hashem Omar, Hamechasa ani me'Avraham, Asher ani Oseh. Hashem said, shall I conceal from Avram that which I'm about to do? And all of the psukim since that introduction, Vashem Amar, have all been a citation of Hashem's word. So what's Vayomer Hashem? So the Sfarno says, Oz hischilo hanevuah. Vayomer Hashem means, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, in a mare hanevuah, in a prophetic vision. So in other words, all of these words, Zaka Sedom v'Amora ki Rabba v'chatosom ki chavdo me'od. The outcry of Sodom and Amorah are great. Their sin is very grievous. These are all words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying to Avram Avinu in a nevuah, in a prophecy. And then we have the next pasuk, Chaf Aleph, which is somewhat more difficult to translate. Er dona, I will go down, I will descend, says Hashem, ve'ere, and I will see. HaKetzakosa haba elai osu kala. That last phrase is very difficult to translate. The way Rashi translates that phrase is as follows. HaKetzakosa haba elai osu. If the people of Sodom have indeed acted wickedly in accordance with the cry that's coming to me, kala, they will be destroyed. And indeed, if you look in the pasuk, there's a psik, there's a line between the word osu and the word kala. When the Baal Kori reads it, he's supposed to read it. Hakitzakosa haba elai osu. Pause. Kala. If the people of Sodom are really as wicked as the cry that comes to me seems to indicate that they are, so kala, they should be destroyed. V'imlo eda'a. And if not, I will know. This translation of Rashi, so first of all, it's not the, you know, as we'll see in a moment, you know, there are other ways to translate the pasuk, but the translation of Rashi also raises a significant theological question, which is as follows. The impression that you have reading the psukim simply is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears crying coming from Sodom and Amorah. It sounds like people are being oppressed. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'd better go and check this out. Erdono, let me descend, let me go down. Ve'ere, and I will see. HaKitzakoso abo elai osu. Is it really as bad down there in Sodom as it sounds like it is? It sounds like people are screaming. It sounds like people are oppressed. It sounds like people are having a really hard time. Is that really the case? Better go and check it out. That's what the psukim sound like, especially with Rashi's interpretation. Now, of course, that's very difficult on a theological level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. What does it mean for Hashem to descend? What does it mean for Hashem to check it out? You know, let me see. I hear these screams. I'm not sure. Is it really as bad as the screams would seem to indicate that it is? What do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything. It's Yodea Machshavos. He knows every thought that a person is thinking. So what does it mean for Hashem to say, as it were, I have to go and check it out? So again, within Rashi, we'll have to say a different interpretation. But the Sfarno has a very vastly different interpretation of certain phrases within these psukim, and it gives a very, very interesting take on the whole story of Sodom. First, let's start off with the words Erdona, I will descend. So the Sfarno had already discussed this back in Parshas Noach, where a similar phrase appears with regard to the Migdal Bavil. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Nerdo Sham V'Navlo Sham Sfasam. Right? Let's go down, let's descend and confuse the language of the people building the Migdal Bavil. What does it mean for Hashem to descend? So starts off the Sfarno saying as follows: Ered l'sof tachlis risham, shehu muchan lotzes me ra'a el ra'a, ki'inyan hava nerdo v'nav l'sham svasam. As the Sfarno explained over there in Parshas Noach, and there in Parshas Noach he cited this case of the people of Sodom. The phrase Hashem descending obviously doesn't mean that Hashem is literally descending. What does it mean? It means that right now, nothing terrible is happening. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge a group of people based on where their actions are going to lead. Hu muchan lotseis me ra'a el ra'a. The actions these people are doing are set up to go from bad to worse. So what's implied by this is that, again, to Ramosha's question from before, the people of Sdom right now are not wonderful, but it's not immediately obvious that they are Rishaim who deserve to be totally, totally annihilated. It's a terrible punishment that comes on the people of Sdom. Right now, as the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes, they didn't show a lot of chesed towards poor and impoverished people. That's true. They weren't big gomlei chasadim. But to destroy five cities because they're not big gomlei chasadim sounds like a little bit of an overreaction. So says the Sfarno, interpreting Hashem's words, Erdona, let me foretell the future. That's what descending means. Let me judge the people of Sdom not based on what they've done, but what in all likelihood they're going to do. A society which is a society that doesn't help the poor will naturally descend into other types of even worse behavior. That's the way the Sfarno explained the Migdal Bavel, that the people building the Migdal Bavel had terrible dreams of the evil things they were going to do, but they hadn't actually actualized all that much yet. So when Hashem says, Hava Nerda, let's descend, it means let's judge the Dar HaFlaga, the generation that built the Migdal Bavel, based on what they're likely to do. If we don't nip things in the bud, they're going to go in a certain direction. So that's Erdona. And then, Ve'era HaKitza'akosa. So the Sfarno over here comes with a fascinating interpretation, which involves changing the Nekudos. Apparently you're allowed to do that. Says the Sfarno as follows. I'll explain what I mean. Areze bepoal. Hashem says, since I know that right now the people of Sdom are not big gomlei chasadim, right? They don't help out poor people. But, you know, their true wickedness has not been fully expressed yet. It's still something which is latent as opposed to being something explicit. Let me create a scenario which will bring out, or has the potential to bring out, the true wickedness of the people of Sdom. And here the Sfarno introduces a fascinating idea. Why were the Malachim sent to Sdom? So you say, okay, well, the Malachim were sent to Sdom for two purposes, to destroy Sdom and to save Lot. But it would seem that it would have been there would have been easier ways to do those two things. Let the Malachim come into Sdom, grab Lot and take him out of there, and just destroy the cities. The whole story about how they seek out Lot as a place where they can perhaps, you know, have a meal, how the people surround the house. Why was all of that necessary? Wouldn't it have been easier just to send in, you know, these the SWAT team to get Lot out of there, pull him out, and just destroy the cities? The whole chain of events seems to be unnecessary. So says the Sfarno, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the two Malachim into Sdom, in a sense, as a sting operation. They were meant to see whether the people of Sdom would act appropriately or inappropriately. The whole thing was a test for the people of Sdom. And unfortunately, as we know, the people of Sdom failed miserably, and that's what led to the city being destroyed. How do you see that? So the Pasuk says, Ve'ere ha-kitza ha-kosa. I will see, says Hashem, the nature of their cry. Says the Sfarno, Ar-e-ze be-po-el. The word ere, I will see, should be read as if it has a patoch under the aleph. Ere, not I will see, but I will show. I will do something, says the Sfarno, talking as Hashem. Hashem says, I will do something to show, to demonstrate the full extent of where the wickedness of Sdom could go. Behis galus libam she is kamumu alot hamisnadev. I will create a scenario where all of the people of Sdom will rise up against the benevolent Lot. V'yedu kobo'ei olam kilo elchinom hoya ha'onesh ha'gadol. And the story that happens with the people creating a mob and surrounding the house of Lot will show everyone in the world that the people of Lot deserve their punishment. So again, this goes back to Rav Moshe's point from before. If we were living at the time, it may not have been so obvious that the people of Sodom were such Rishoim. Okay, they didn't have really good welfare programs. Okay, if they didn't have such great welfare programs, it doesn't seem that that's a reason to destroy the five cities. But the failure to provide for the poor pointed to something deeper and more pernicious. These were people who at their core were cruel, terrible people, but it wasn't entirely obvious. Hashem said, let me make it obvious. I will demonstrate the kind of screaming that's going to eventually come from Sodom. I'm going to create a scenario where it will be obvious that the people of Sodom are Rishoim. And then if that's the case, Asukala. What's Asukala? So the Tzvarno here punctuates the words. Not only does he change the reading of Ere'eh to Ar'eh, but as opposed to the Taimei HaMikra, the trup notes that separate between the word Asu and the word Kala, Hakitzakasa Haba Eloi Asu, Kama, Kala, the Tzvarno interprets it entirely differently. Asu Kala means they all have done it. Kala means Kulam, all of that. Asu Kulam. She'ein b'nei amocha. If the mob surrounds the house of Lot and there are no objectors, nobody's saying, hey guys, this really isn't a good thing to do. If that's going to be the approach of the people of Sodom, so then that will prove that there's no hope for Sodom, and that will prove that there are no tzaddikim in the midst of the city. So in other words, until that event happened, with the mob surrounding the house of Lot, it's possible that there were tzaddikim in the city. Again, what does it mean to be a tzaddik? A tzaddik just means somebody who looks, when he sees injustice, you know, playing itself out, you know, he jumps up and says, wait a minute, you know, this is the wrong thing to do. Were there tzaddikim? Weren't there tzaddikim? You know, we're not sure. So, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, let's send down a test. Let's have these malachim create a scenario that will test whether there are any tzaddikim in Sodom. And if Asu Kala, if all the people are engaged in acts of rishus, of wickedness, so then that will prove that they're worthy of destruction. So that's exactly what happens. So the people, the malachim go down to Sodom. Avraham Avinu has his discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll perhaps come back to that in a few moments. And then the beginning of Perek Yutes, it says, Vayovo shnei ha-malachim stomo bo'erev. That evening, the two malachim showed up in Sodom. Now the Sfarno over here raises an interesting point. He says, Afal pi shigiu shom b'li ichur. How long did it take the malachim to make their way to Sodom? Well, I mean, they're malachim. It should have been instantaneous. The Gemara says in Brachos, Gavriel b'shtayim michoel b'achas. Gavriel can go somewhere with two leaps, so to speak, and Michoel can make it somewhere with a single leap. They're malachim. Why did it take them so long to get down to Sodom? They left Avraham Avinu during the day, and it took them all the way till the evening to get to Sodom. So says the Sfarno, no, they were malachim. They got there instantaneously. So, and in fact, that's what the Pasuk says, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayelchu Stoma, the Malachim went to Sodom. Not just they went to the direction of Sodom. The way the Sfarno understands it, they left Avraham Avinu, boom, they were in Sodom, just like that. However, Mikol Makom Lo Nichnasu B'Sodom Ad Ho'erev. They basically got to Sodom in a moment. They waited outside until it became evening, and only in the evening did they go into Sodom. Why? Basically, they waited for the conversation between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be over. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished explaining to Avraham Avinu, you know, I can save the cities if there are 10 tzaddikim, but if there are fewer than 10 tzaddikim, I can't do that. When that conversation finished, I guess they, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol, he WhatsApped, you know, the Malachim, he said, okay, I finished the conversation with Avraham Avinu. You can go in now. So they're waiting outside the gates of stone for the word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they can go in. Okay, so they go in. Lot sees that they're important people. He bows down in front of them. He invites them in. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. He invites them in for a mishta. Vayas lohem mishta. Umatzos afo vayochelu. What's the translation of mishta? So if you look in Art Scroll writes, he made a feast for them. That's presumably the way we would usually translate it. The Sfarno has a different take. Says the Sfarno, Mishta, Kvius Suda al Hayayim. He invited them in for a wine drinking session. Literally, Mishta is drinking, right? It's not a Suda. He didn't invite them in for a meal. He invited them in for a drink, a lot of drinking. What is that? What's the significance of that? So the Sfarno has this fascinating comment. He says, Bios Hayayin Ohuv Etzlo. Lot liked to drink. Kimo Shochiach Sofa al Tchiloso. If you didn't know that Lot liked to drink, you figured it out by the end of the story, where he does a little bit too much drinking and ends up having a couple of extra kids that he wasn't planning on having. So Lot was a person who liked to drink. In contrast, says the Sfarno, Aval Avram lo osa mishta zulasi biyom higomel es Yitzchok. L'gdolei hadar shahayu murgolim bekach ve'es simchasam. When did Avram Avinu make a mishta? When did he make a party that involved drinking? Only biyom higomel es Yitzchok, only on the day in which Yitzchok was weaned or gemalt, you know, he was circumcised, depending on how the different interpretations of the pasuk. When the Gedolei Hador, when the great people of the generation came, as a sign of honor, he put out drinks, he put out wine, he put out schnapps, whatever he put out exactly. But when the Malachim come to Avram Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, and he feeds them, we don't find any mention that he gave them anything alcoholic. He gave them tongues, he gave them water, right? He was going to give them bread. Again, there were different matzahs, you know, there were things that he was going to give to them. We don't find that he gave them wine. Lot serves them wine. Lot serves them wine. What's the significance of the fact that Lot serves them wine? So the Sfarno says, Ka'amram zichrono livracha, as Chazal say in the Masechta Soto, Daf Yudah Mar Aleph, Kamei deshasei chamra chamra. You should give people what they're used to. If you're the kind of person who's used to drinking wine, you tend to serve wine to guests. Lot's culinary choices in serving the Malachim are reflective of Lot himself. He's the kind of guy who likes a good drink, so that's what he gave the Malachim. Avraham Avinu, in contrast, you get the impression, didn't touch alcoholic beverages all that much. So when the Malachim come to Avraham Avinu, he puts out food. Lot puts out drink, Avraham Avinu puts out food. Okay, so the Malachim come, the people surround the house. Again, as the Sfarno said, this is the people of stone being put to the test. You know, will they demonstrate their terrible rishus, their terrible degree of evil? And they essentially demonstrate that. In fact, they demonstrate it in a very stark way. The people are stricken by blindness, right? Anoshim asher pesach habayis hiku basanveirim. You know, they're stricken by blindness by the malachim. And then it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayilu limtsoa posach. The people, the mob, wore themselves out trying to grope around looking for the door. They wanted to bang the door down so they could come in and assault Lot and take out the malachim and do with it to them whatever they thought they were going to do to them. And, you know, as they were in the process of looking for the door to break it down, they were stricken with blindness. So what happens at that point? Vayilu l'msoa posach. They wore themselves out looking for the door. So the Sfarno comments again as follows. Afal pi shahayu mukim b'sanveirim. These people who were part of the mob were stricken with blindness. So you figure, like, if you're stricken with blindness right at that point in time, give up. I mean, first of all, you can't see anything. Second of all, it didn't dawn on anybody there that the fact that they're all stricken with blindness at just that time is some kind of siman, some kind of sign from the Ribbono Shel Olam that whatever they're about to do is a really bad idea? Give up! Give up! Well, why wouldn't she give up? No! Notwithstanding the fact that they had been stricken with blindness, Tarchu Limso HaPesach Kedei Lishbar HaDeles, they were still groping around, trying to do whatever they could to find the entranceway into the house, to break down the door. What are you breaking down the door? You have bigger problems. Everybody just went blind. You don't recognize this is a, you know, this is a sign from the Ribbono Shel Olam? No. Ka'amram Zichrono Livracha. As Chazal say, Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, Rishaim Afilo Bepischo Shel Gehenom Einon Chazrim B'Shuva. A Rasha can be standing at the gates to Gehenom itself, and he can see everything that's going to be waiting for him if he doesn't do tshuva. But the Rasha, the true Rasha, is stuck in his ways. He's not doing tshuva under any circumstances. So that, says the Svarno, is indicative of how terrible these people of stone were. Here they are, stricken with sanverim. You'd think somebody in the crowd should yell, Rabosai, time to do tshuva. We made a big mistake over here. There isn't a single person, Mikaton v'ad gadol, that's the Pasuk says, Minar v'ad zaken, from young to old, there isn't a single person there who says, you know, we made a tremendous, colossal error over here. Let's change our ways. No one is impressed upon by the fact that they all go blind. And as such, it's the biggest indictment of the city, the biggest proof that even though right now the people of stone perhaps are not super duper evil, but you see what's latent, what's easily going to come out from these people of stone. This is the direction they're going in, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is absolutely justified, and it's clear that he's justified in destroying the city. Okay, we'll pick up with this tomorrow night. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.